The title of the message tonight is No Divisions. And I want to emphasize to begin with that Pastor Justin did not suggest that I preach on this because there were divisions in this church. One of the big reasons we enjoy coming here is the unity that we sense, the unity in support of the Word of God, the unity in support of your pastor. Every time we come, the people say, if he goes, we're going with him. Wait a minute. That's not quite the right attitude. So why would I speak on this? Just simply to remind ourselves of how important it actually is to be united, speaking the same things, having unity. That is not always the case in churches, and we just need sometimes reminders like that. That's the beauty of Bible reading. Have a regular schedule of Bible reading so that you are reminded constantly of the will of God and you let it govern your life, direct your activities as well. Few years ago, there was a popular TV program called 911, which pretty well gives away what the program was about. And it wasn't something I watched. My wife watched it. I rarely watch television except for news, and so I've got other things to do. And what they did in this program, they had real life situations that had developed. They had taken from 911 calls, and the advice that they gave, and people would watch and salted away in their minds the things that they saw, so that it was the program was actually credited with saving at least 100 lives because of the programming that they put on there, and it educated people. And one particular one, a man suffered a gunshot wound to the head, and it was bleeding pretty badly. But the wife remembered seeing a program on 911, and she knew exactly what to do to stop the bleeding, to get help there, and it saved his life because of that program. This church, the Corinthian church, made up of believers, no doubt about that. The first several verses of the book indicate very clearly that these were born-again people, people that knew God, that loved God, but they were bleeding. They were bleeding spiritually. They had a lot of disunity within them, several problems that needed to be addressed. But first, they needed to stop the bleeding. And the Apostle Paul, before he dealt with the other problems that needed to be attended to, he gave attention to stopping the bleeding. The problem? There were divisions in the church. We already read about them. Divisions that seem silly. Divisions that seem foolish. And they were. Divisions that ought not to have been there, but they were divisions that had been dragged into the church from the surroundings, from their former life. And sad as it was, that's what happened. What a blessing when church members unite and rally around the Word of God. What a blessing. I couldn't calculate the percentage of people here tonight that were here this morning. That is a blessing. That is an indication of unity. Even though there are several missing tonight, 12 with the pastor in Utah, in a ministry there, in a church plant, and yet here you are, because you're unified in seeking God and doing what God would have you to do. There's a great difference in thinking between one committed to God's Word and one who is not. And these people, some of them were committed to God's Word, and many of them were committed to individuals. So anyway, we want to focus tonight especially upon maintaining spiritual unity in the church. Maintain it to prevent, first of all, to prevent divisions in the church. We look at verse 10 again. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul doesn't say, by the one who founded you, me, but by the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what is to unite all of us and keep us on track, because He is the Son of God, the one that died for us. That ye all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you. It's a nasty thing to see divisions in a church. Thank God that through our ministry, we had very little of that. We saw it in some neighboring churches, but not much in our own own church. And it just works against the whole mission of the church to begin with. In fact, the Apostle Paul later, in chapter 3 at verse 3, calls it an ugly word, carnality, fleshliness is what he calls it. And no wonder, because it's the way of the world and the flesh. There's several terrible effects. If there's bleeding, profuse bleeding in particular, it has several bad effects upon other organs, other parts of the body, and the same thing happens in a church that is bleeding as well. There are several terrible effects. One, it hinders spiritual growth. It's very difficult to come into a church service on a regular basis when you know there's dissensions, there's problems, there's divisions amongst the people. You cannot grow spiritually when your energies are given over to quarreling. And keep that in mind. Quarreling is bad anywhere. At home, doesn't help the home situation. It's not good at work. And it's certainly not good at church either. It weakens the church. Cooperation is hindered. Divisions in a church will be working for their own divisions, for their own interests, their own desires, their own cares. Factions expend their energies opposing each other. First church that we pastored in western Wisconsin had the attendance had gone way down, mainly because the pastor's wife wanted a new house. The parsonage was, I don't know when it was built. It was bought in 1925, and she was not happy with it, and she knew that someone had given a tidy sum of money to build a new house. And some people in the church wanted to give it to her, and some people in the church were determined she wasn't going to have it either. When we came, things were at very low ebb. Several people in the church said, "Don't worry about a thing. We've got no place to go but up." And that's what happened. You see, the people united. They came together, and after just several months, they came to us and said, they had a lot right across the street from the church, an empty lot, ready for a building. And they came to us and said, "We want to build that house for you." I said, "Take your time. There's no rush. We're doing fine. We're farm people to begin with, and what we're living with is no big problem at all." But another terrible effect divisions is that it becomes a stumbling block to weak believers. They need all the help that they can get and then the encouragement they can get. Next, it becomes a stumbling block to unbelievers. Unbelievers find out what's really going on in the church. You can't hide it. They find out about it, especially in small communities like we were. When we went there, the population was 550 people. They had a big Lutheran church on this side of town and a little Baptist church on this side of town. And in fact, there was a lady that was a member of the big Lutheran church over there that came to our house one day. I think she brought a cake. Yeah, she brought a cake to get acquainted with us. I said, why would you do this? She says, "I just feel sorry for you." Seriously, "I just feel sorry for you." See, people know. People find out. And we were the little people on the block. Divisions and become a laughingstock to unbelievers as well. They claim to love one another, but obviously they don't. And certainly it prevents evangelism. Bickering church members don't evangelize people. And so it's so important that we guard against divisions and disruptions. Maintain a spiritual unity in the church. Secondly, to prevent hero worship in the church. Oh my. Look at verse 11 and 12 again. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brother, by them who are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul. Well, there was some good reason to be of Paul, but not over Christ, not at all. No, they were lining up against behind Paul. They're lining up behind Apollos. Now, Apollos was not involved in establishing churches, which Christ was. Paul was. That was God's calling to him. And so he went about establishing churches, spreading the gospel. Apollos was very adept at teaching the word of God. But some people got behind him. Peter, the Apostle Peter, managed at some point to get to Corinth, and some people thought, wow, he's a brash guy. I like him. I like his personality. I don't know just what all it was. Or, thankfully, some said, I'm for Christ. I'm glad he got in on it as well. But think of that. They lined up behind these individuals instead of lining up strictly and solely behind Christ. Greece was known for its learning. It was known for its philosophers. And people would line up behind their philosophers for good reason. They differed, and they weren't all 100% right. They weren't lined up behind Christ. And so they brought the same mentality into the church. They lined up behind their leaders, those that they really admired. Just exactly why they lined up behind them, what were the reasons, we don't know exactly what it may have been. And it really doesn't matter. Whatever the reasons, they had their human heroes that they followed. They failed to see that each of the men, the various ones they were lining up behind, were ministers of Christ. I'm glad that I've been able to minister here a number of times over the years. But I'm glad you have Pastor Justin. You know, he and I came from the same seminary. But we sure are different, aren't we? Yeah. And nothing wrong with that, because we're both focused on the Word of God and leading you and guiding you in the things of God. Because having human heroes saps the life of the church in a really bad way. This is one of the reasons why, at least in the circles that I've been in for the most part, Baptist churches have generally only considered one candidate at a time when they were seeking a new pastor. Well, why would that matter? Well, if you have a parade of individuals coming in, what happens? People in the congregation start lining up behind this one, behind that one, and then you come to time to vote and select who you're going to bring in, and what happens? Well, there's some divisions. And so the thinking has been, seek God's will. Seek the Lord's will. And let him direct and guide you into the person, the individual, that God would have you bring in to minister for the future. Sometimes people have their heroes within the church. Sometimes they have their heroes outside of the church. Sometimes it's TV or radio preachers. And some preachers are on the TV and radio are really good. I love having a Sunday morning on the television. David Jeremiah, I enjoy his presentations. I don't agree with everything he does, but most of it, and I just appreciate him immensely. And then there's Robert Jeffress right after him, from Dallas, Texas, and these are master preachers. I never regarded myself as a master preacher for good reason. But I don't get behind them as people to make heroes of them. Beware of quoting men, starting personality quotes. Sometimes preachers will preach. They've read a commentary, and they get behind certain ones that are they think are just authoritative about everything, and that's not always the case. None of us is authoritative in that sense, except maybe Brother Thorpe, but I have some questions about him too. You know, Brother Thorpe has an amazing mind, just an absolutely amazing mind, and he just continues strong. He's a tremendous asset to the church that they're in. I appreciate him so very much. Maintain spiritual unity in the church next to prevent apparent divisions of Christ. We look at verse 13 to 16. Is Christ divided? Can we imagine such a thing? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Get your thinking straight. Get on the same page. Christ is who is important. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? As though somehow Christ was put on him, and he's a representative of Christ somehow in a special way. Well, he was a representative of Christ, all right, but He was a promoter of Christ. I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. Oh my. Beware of people. Beware of individuals, especially on the television or radio, that the name of the head of it is totally prominent. And his picture is there constantly. No matter where their ministry, no matter what talents God has given to them, I live with this constantly. To whom much is given, much is required. How poorly I may feel about myself because of the talents and the abilities of others like Dwayne Thorpe, I remember, to whom much is given, much is required. I need to do the very best that I know how to do. And so give the people that you might otherwise line up behind a little leeway. We're not all gifted the same way at all. No, Christ is not divided. Christ is the Savior. Christ is the hope of mankind. Christ is the one we are to exalt. So maintain spiritual unity. You have it here. Keep it going. Keep it going. It is so valuable. Maintain spiritual unity in the church, lastly, to prevent neutralizing the gospel of Christ. The last verse we look at tonight, verse 17, neutralizing the gospel of Christ. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And with faith and trust in him, we have everlasting life. But we finish the verse. And not with wisdom of words. Wisdom of words. Several years ago, well, I see this still today, oftentimes, I see the word kiss. There's nothing romantic about it. It's keep it simple, stupid. Communicate. Communicate. But they were in Corinth, where the philosophers were, where the orators were. And one thing that has frustrated me over the years is good people, people that I've fellowship with, people that I've helped train even, that started to adopt a different language, different words about theological concepts. And I'm afraid it was so they could impress some bigwigs somewhere. I really don't care about bigwigs. I care about the gospel. I care about the teaching of the Word of God and trying the best I can to keep it simple, to communicate it in language and concepts that can be understood. But apparently, that was being diminished in the Corinthian church. Wisdom of words. Well, the best wisdom is the simple truth of the gospel. Men are sinners. They need salvation. And that's our goal. And we are going to work to build one another up and strengthen one another in the things of God. Well, God established the church to have an impact upon the world, to reach the lost, to edify, build up believers. To accomplish this, the church must be unified and in support of Jesus Christ and Him alone. You have a good unity here. Maintain it. Keep it going. Don't allow anything or anybody to become a problem. And God will be honored. God will be glorified. Souls will be saved. Had a lovely visit with a new lady here this morning that found the church, this church, began attending here. I don't think we even got her name. She's just so excited. She found a church, came out of a Catholic background, and she found a church where people loved each other and there was unity, and she's growing in the things of God. Keep it up. Just refresh your minds about it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a marvelous church this is. I thank you for it. I thank you for its pastor. And pray that you'll be with them as they expend their energies this week, helping a new church plant there in Salt Lake City. Pray, Lord, that you'll bless them, guide them, bring them back safely again to continue the ministry here that you've given to them. Speak to our hearts, especially, Lord, to keep us focused on what already exists, a unity for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.